Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say, it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. Tonight we have another exciting show lined up for you with our guest, our Time to Leave member, who will be interviewing her special guest, Sister Andrea Muhammad. Sister Andrea, are you there? If you're on the line, go ahead and press the 1 on your dial, Sister Andrea, and I will open up your microphone so you can go ahead. There, I see you press the 1. Open your mic up. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Andrea. How are you this evening?
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carlton. I am doing well, and how are you?
I'm well by the grace of God, and I'm excited about the show for tonight. And your guest, Sister Beatrice. Sister Beatrice, if you can press the 1 on your dial so I can open your microphone.
And Brother Carlton,
and
I'm excited also. Oh, praises are due to Allah. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Beatrice.
Assalamu alaikum, family. How are you tonight?
Fine, ma'am.
I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine, by Allah's grace and mercy. Thank
Beautiful.
You, Jack.
Yes, ma'am. And sister, thank you. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. It is wonderful to have you on Time to Leave with us again. And I know that it was last year, I think November, and you were with us before. And I'm excited to hear about the things that you're doing with spring being here, to hear you talk about your blueprint to exit and how you have prepared and to give us some insight on some of the things that we may be able to do to prepare for our exit, the blueprint for the exit. Just a few things, Sister Beatrice. X is in Mayton, North Carolina, and she has a absolutely phenomenal farm, 8.5 acres, and she's doing just so many things with. I'm looking forward to sharing for her to share what she is doing with her farm. Please, Sister Beatrice, you have the floor.
Thank you again. Yes, family, I am excited. I'm very excited. We settled in and we're on the farm, and we have invested in 5 greenhouses. We have half an acre designated for a fruit farm in which we have 40 fruit trees on it. We have another 5 acres that's designated. Actually, it's 4 acres designated for the lamb. So we do raise lamb, and we have processed the lamb, and we are getting ready to have CSA boxes offered to the community. And CSA boxes are community-supported agriculture. So it's like a subscription. You kind of order it ahead of time before the season, and then you're able to get groceries for the next 12 weeks, freshly grown on the farm. Our CSA box is slightly different because it's not just vegetables. We have the vegetables, we have the fruit, we have lamb meat, and we also have water that we put in the boxes. We have products like lentil beans and navy beans that's also included in the boxes. So this is what we're offering to the community.
So, Sister Beatrice, that sounds beautiful. How does the community go about finding out and picking up the CSA packages? How do they get to you?
Well, we actually have delivery. Most of our subscribers are within 50-mile radius in which we deliver to the front door.
Wow. Okay, so is this similar to like a co-op or that sounds amazing. That sounds amazing. So you have vegetables, you have all other types of foods and so on. I mean, it's like they're getting meals, not just vegetables, but they're getting meals in these boxes.
Yes, the way we make it up, we also work with other farmers in our area. Those that grow in the same manner that we grow in, where they're not using any pesticides and they're growing naturally, we will utilize them. So our fruit farm is only 4 years young, and so we're able to get berries and strawberries from our farm, but the other fruits such as apples, oranges, and muscadines, they come from other farmers that is in close proximity to our farm. And so they're able to put their vegetables and their fruit and what they offer in our boxes and get it out to the community as well. So it's a shared, it's not a co-op per se, but it is the beginning of trying to make one. So we got farmers that get together and work to service the community in a good way.
Oh, that's beautiful. And you were just talking about the fruit trees. And, you know, I have never grown fruit trees. And it's interesting that you say that because it lets us know that, you know, you can't just plant a tree and fruit comes on it immediately or that year. It's a process. So, you know, those of us that are in the city, we don't know anything about those things. We used to go to the store and just picking up the apples, and you know, we don't think about the process that goes into those apples getting to us.
Yes, it is a process, and it does take time. So depending on the fruit, you might have to wait sometimes 4 or 5, sometimes 6 years to get some fruit from a tree. And so it is a process. You try to build the tree up so that it can produce long term. But you're not able to plant fruit trees today and get fruit the next season. It doesn't really work that way. So it takes a little time.
Yes, ma'am. That's wonderful. That's good information for us to have. And when we talked earlier, you were talking about getting the information out to the community, and you mentioned getting the opportunity to be on a broadcasting station and to advertise. What are some of the ways that you're getting in touch with the community?
We do have a website. We have other outlets on Facebook. We have North Carolina Extension Office also has a listing, Farmer Markets, and farmers that's doing CSA boxes. We're listed there. So there's several ways. We have telephone lines and other phone numbers in which we are able to get customers and solicit new customers. We even have an email. I'll start with the email. The email is djfamilyconnection@gmail.com. And you can reach us there. The website is amoncommunityfarm.com, in which you can place an order. And then we also have a phone number in which you could call in and place an order that way. Or if you have any questions, we'll be glad to answer them. And that phone number is 704-740-0432. We do not start giving out boxes until May 1st, but you can start placing your order as soon as possible. The sooner the better.
Yes, ma'am. And before the end of the program, I definitely want to ask you to repeat all of those, the information on how to contact you. Thank you so much. You mentioned the partnerships. Are there many black farmers in your area? The partnerships, are they like broad-based? What is the with you starting your farm, what is the type of welcome or what is the response to the farming community? Because this is your family, and I think since we talked, more family members have moved on the farm. Is that correct?
That is correct. The way we set it up is to help other family members create jobs and industry around food or anything that can be utilized from a farm. So, for example, if you're into doing, let's say, walking sticks, we have plenty of trees in which somebody could carve walking sticks if that was what they desire to do. We have quartz rocks in which we have another set of another family, our family, but another extension of our family that is looking into buying a tumbler so they can make jewelry from these beautiful quartz rocks that you can find on the property. We have my 14-year-old grandson, my star. He actually has his own ice cream company, and he makes all the dessert that goes into these boxes. And so he has a freeze dryer, and so he has freeze-dried products such as key lime freeze-dry. He has freeze-dried banana bread in which he makes from scratch. And so it's beautiful, beautiful desserts that he comes up with and he creates on his own. And in addition to the desserts, the freeze-dried desserts, he also does ice cream. So he has coconut chocolate chip ice cream. And it's made, there's no dairy in it. There's no eggs in it. For those that are sensitive to that, he has that option. to order that. And then those that just like the nice, regular, creamy, dairy-enriched ice cream, he offers that too. So the way we're designing the farm is to see how to create jobs, how to offer healthy alternatives in eating, and how to unify as a people. So right now I work with 4 other black farmers and a few others. And I would like to know and have access to more black farmers. But we don't have a network in how to reach other black farmers. And we know they're out there. But we don't find them at the farmers market. We would like to create a better network in which we could work together and unify and bring a greater quality and quantity of food to the people.
Yes, ma'am. So that sounds like a request. If we have any listeners that have access to any of that type of information, when we do open it up for questions, please make sure that you share with us, because it sounds like you're putting a request out to have access to more black farmers with businesses. That would be beautiful. So hopefully there's somebody out there that's listening that can pass on some of that information. Now, getting back to your 14-year-old grandson, this is amazing. He has his own business, and not only does he have his own business, he sits back and visualizes and creates an avenue to come up with different products that he freeze-dries. He knows the freeze-drying process. He thinks of different desserts that he makes, so he enjoys baking. Is that correct?
He does. He enjoys the food. He enjoys creating food and offering good food. He enjoys it.
Wow. That is so beautiful. I mean, that is the essence of creativity. It really is. I mean, that's amazing. And how did he get started with this interest? If he's at 14, when did he start on this journey to be interested in this, in baking and creating these things?
Yes. Amon's farm was named after Amon, the 14-year-old, my 14-year-old grandson. And he's had a desire and a love for cooking since 8 years old. Everywhere, anytime he would visit his friends, he was the one that would cook breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And people were always amazed that somebody so young could put together a plate of food. And he has maintained that, and he continues to do it. So he also has classes in which other young children could come and learn how to make their own ice cream and make the desserts. And so he teaches others.
Oh, so sister, that's so beautiful.
Growing.
Go on, please. Go on. Mm-hmm.
And he wants to expand. We started out with a home freeze dryer, and now he's at the point where he needs a commercial size freeze dryer. And we did price them. They run about $10,000 to $30,000. And so we're also looking for a grant writer to help us accomplish this goal. He so desires to continue with his navy bean freeze-dry dessert. And he needs a larger freeze dryer because it takes about a day and a half to 3 days to freeze dry a product depending on its density. And so he's limited because we have one freeze dryer, but he would like to expand and get a larger one. So we're looking into building a commercial one, and we're doing the research. But if anybody out there is a grant writer or has any information on freeze dryers, commercial grade, we would love to hear back from you.
All praises are due to Allah. That's so beautiful. And, you know, as you were talking about him doing these things, I'm like, you know, this is like a combination of mathematics, chemistry, creativity. You know, it's just so much that goes into all of this. Sister, I commend you because he started this. He got this from somewhere. You know, he watched someone. He learned from someone. You, other family members, someone, sister. So that is, I commend you. I commend you on and commend you on encouraging our brother because, and him having the vision to encourage other youth because we need our youth. We need our youth involved in farming. We need our youth, and he's interested in cooking because Dr. Ridgely always talks about how we don't, most of us don't cook anymore. You look at our people in the community, many of us just don't cook anymore. We're so accustomed to the fast food. Cooking is not something that is really, really emphasized. So to have youth learning to do these things is absolutely beautiful. This because we need them. We need them to grow our nation. So this is definitely an example of what can be done with the right type of guidance that you. Thank you so much for what you're doing. This that is just so beautiful, absolutely and beautiful.
He did start with eggs. He has his first thing on the farm, which was about 4 years ago, was just learning how to grow chickens and taking his time and learning the process and utilizing the eggs to bake anything that he needed to bake or anything he wanted to bake. And he's just blossomed and have grown up. And this is the best time that we are not in school fully. COVID-19 has been a blessing because now he's able to start his craft at this age. And by the time he finished high school, he will have his own business. He will have his own classroom in which he could teach others how to start their business. And so I hope that the listeners out there can encourage our children, especially during this time. If your children are at home, are they being homeschooled? Are they on the computer at home and they're down a certain amount of days? This is the time to give them a skill. Give them a skill. Figure out what they love and make it blossom. The children that come to the classes' eyes are so wide open. They're so wide open to say, I made my own dessert. I made my cake from scratch. It's a beautiful thing when you watch their eyes. They are, our kids are wide open to learn and create and do and learn and teach others. They're ready.
Well, Sister Beatrice, I'm just thinking as I'm listening to you, and it is so important, Sister, just listening to you, saying how the children are wide open and ready to learn. And that means that that gives us the responsibility to be just as wide-eyed and be really willing to teach. And those things that we may not know, we need to learn them so we can teach them. And have that same type of thirst and hunger for learning skills, learning new things that our children do. You know, I've seen the pictures that you've posted on Facebook, and I think he was putting, was it a shed or a greenhouse he was helping to build?
Yeah, he has built the greenhouses. He did participate in building the greenhouse. And he also has built sheds. And so he was putting together, he was putting on the tin roof on the shed, and he was expanding an existing shed to twice the size. And I watched him. He took instruction, and he did the whole thing by himself. Our children are amazing. They're amazing. I think he added, the area that he added was 12 feet. He added to the existing building of roof space so that we could work under there and get out of the sun. So now we have shade and we have storage space. And he's so proud that he can look back at that building and say, I did that. And so it's important that we give them all the skills, not only how to build, how to bake the cake, but he also has classes that he has to take. He has to know all the numbers. What does it take to run a business? How much does it take? What is the cost of the product? What is the cost of his time so that he could price his products correctly? So, yes, the skill is important, but how to run the business and be successful is just as important, if not more important. And so we try to give him a full rounded schedule that incorporate all those things he needs and still have time to play basketball when he wants to. So he has to have an outlet where it's not work, all work.
Yes, ma'am. All praises are due to Allah. And I'm listening to you. This is a wonderful thing. This is amazing a thing. This is what is so important for us to do with our children. And many of us just don't know the skills. We don't have the knowledge. So it's time for us to take the classes, to learn these avenues, to learn these things, to learn about farming, to learn about growing. I know Dr. Ridgely has books on the difference between farming and gardening. There are just so many avenues. The USDA, so many ways that we can learn. We just have to start so that we can help our children. I looked at a post that another one of our MGT, she's in St. Louis. She's our sister Tasha was on last Thursday, and she made a post how some of the young brothers in the neighborhood just came by. They've been watching her, and they asked what they could do. So you're very correct. They wanted to learn. She's out there with the urban garden. They wanted to learn and help and do. So our children are. They want to do something productive. We just have to have. We need to find an avenue and have something for them to do. And I just thank you and commend you again, Sister Beatrice, for what you're doing and how he is being inspired to do. That's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And Go on.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't disrupt you. What I wanted to say is he has a little cousin, his apprentice. And Amon started out with a chicken farm and an egg farm and producing eggs. And it's grown, and he's passed it down to his 7-year-old cousin, who will be 8 next week. And his cousin has expanded the business to cut down on the feed. He is growing his own mealworms. And so he's only 7, but he will be completed process of having a mealworm company at 8 years old for his birthday. So don't limit our children based on their age. Don't push them out the way and say, oh, they're too young. They are ready. They are ready.
I'm wrapping my head around it. I'm listening to you. 8 years old. And what
he's
type of business is he? Uh-huh.
He's growing worms to cut down on the feed that it costs us to feed the chickens.
Wow.
And so it's very helpful to know that he might be able to save or cost us to feed those chickens the proper food. He's going to be able to save us that by creating another industry. And it's called mealworms. And they're worms,
yes,
is protein,
ma'am,
that the chicken love.
Sister, this is so key. Just thinking about, because everything that we do has a purpose. That's what you're saying. Everything that you all are doing, there is a purpose, and there is something for everyone to learn and do on this farm. And you're creating industries. You're going to have children that will already have businesses, know-how, and all of that. It's just, that's amazing, sis. And that's
absolutely beautiful. And it's a concept that is lost because most of us have no idea how to sustain ourselves. We're accustomed to being employees, and as we're looking to separate, as we're looking to make this exit, we have to know something about doing something for ourselves. So you are teaching the children at an early age that they can be self-sufficient. We need each other, but we all can do something in this process of helping ourselves. That is beautiful.
Yes.
Brother Carlson, will you see if there are any callers that might have any questions or comments?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Andrea, we have one caller, but before I bring that caller on, I'd like to announce to the rest of the listeners that if they're enjoying this conversation or if they'd like to ask a question, to please press the 1 on their keypad and they'll be in the queue. So the first one we'll bring on looks like Sister Ann. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ann. You're on the show now.
Wa alaikum salam. And wa alaikum salam to you, Sister Beatrice and Sister Andrea.
Thank you.
Yes, I was listening to you. It's such an interesting program. But I wanted to know, I keyed in when you were talking about your fruit trees. Now, you say you have fruit trees. Now, do you have one type of tree, or is there a variety of trees that you have?
We have a variety. So we have a variety of pears. We have apples. We have figs. We grew a variety on purpose to help with the trees could get diseased when you have just one type, a little bit more.
Right.
But when you have a variety, it helps minimize the damages to any one tree. And so we went with that route to try to build more like a food forest here, more so than a monocultural farm that grows just one product.
Right, right. Well, you almost answered my second question, and I was going to ask you whether or not you decided to do those trees based on a need, or did you get advice from anyone?
I did get a lot of advice. I do use the USDA website. I do use North Carolina Extension Program. I try to get all resources to help understand, because we're learning. We don't know. We grew up in Brooklyn, New York. We don't have a clue about a farm, and we just happen to learn along the way. And every day is a learning process.
Right, right, right. Well, you sound like a pro to me. So your checking out others and getting advice is certainly paying off. And I was going to ask also, I had written down the question, but you more or less explained that you are doing some value added. And I can see now that your grandson would take full advantage of those fruit trees for his value-added concern. And it's just so wonderful what you're doing.
You are absolutely right. And we do freeze-dry blueberries, freeze-dry apples, freeze-dry pears that we get from other farms that are close in our neighborhood. So we are doing that, and we're looking to do our own once we get them fruiting and doing what we want them to do. So, yes, the added value to the produce is almost the biggest thing we could really create. That's where we really need to be.
Right.
To offer value to the food that is offered in the grocery stores, because there's no value in that food at all.
That is true. That is so true. Well, thank you so much, sister, for being on the program. And it is very, very enlightening. And I'm enjoying it so much.
Well, Sister Ann, I want to thank you because our inspiration started over 20 years ago when we visited your farm. Yes. So we thank you for the inspiration.
Okay. All right. Well, I have learned something from you. I'm planning to do more fruit trees on this farm. Have you thought about persimmons, or do they grow in your area?
Yes, and we have an order to put persimmons in the ground. We have brought persimmons from other farmers just to test it to see if it was, because we wasn't familiar with it. But, yes, they do grow in this area, and we do intend this season to put some in the ground.
All right.
So and pawpaws, which are two native plants here that we would like to see go in the ground.
Uh-huh.
That's the goal.
Okay.
This season. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Well, I was considering the persimmons, but now I'm going to have to plant some other trees in there with them. So now I've got to look at what else I can do to, because, you know, persimmons, they are disease resistant. They are insect resistant. And that is one of the reasons I wanted to go with them. That is one of the things that, the characteristic that they have for this area. I don't know if the characteristic would be the same in your area. Sometimes they change.
It actually is.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I apologize. Okay. It actually is. And there's a lot of support for the native trees.
Right.
We have so many great native trees that we have never heard of, never saw them in a grocery store. But pawpaws and persimmons is they're both very nutritional. Like you said, they're very disease hardy. They are good trees to plant in these areas. So I'm not
right.
too far. Yes. We're in zone 7B, so we're not
okay.
that far.
Okay,
yes.
right. All right. Well, again, thank you so much. And I have thoroughly enjoyed the program.
Thank you.
And Sister Andrea, we have another caller. If I can open that caller's mic.
Of course. Thank you, sir.
Caller with the last four digits, 3381. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Sister Alva from St. Louis and Akon Lakem family.
Well, Lakem
Salon.
The experiences that you are talking about, Sister Beatrice, are very, very interesting, and wish for you and pray for you and your family to have continued success, and especially your grandson, as has been stated. Everything, particularly with him, is very inspirational. In answer
Thank you.
To your question about, you're welcome. In answer to your question about any ideas on about grant writing, et cetera, a thought came to my mind, maybe you've done it already, I don't know, but if there is a local 4-H club anywhere in the vicinity, you might have your grandson to contact them because they are likely to have some type of youth division, and there may be possibilities of things that he could do through the local 4-H club, as well as I've been told if people have the time and the patience, Google whatever question you might have, and it may take several layers of questions but by Googling, for example, what organization can help grant right for farmers in North Carolina. Just keep asking questions until you come up with or an appropriate response, or until you decide, yeah, I can't find it. But my understanding is just about anything can probably be found through Googling, but again, it might take several layers of questions in order to get to the right spot. So that was my thought on how you might explore getting some help for some of the kinds of things that you talked about.
Thank you. Those are excellent ideas.
And very.
Mine was actually a part of 4-H until COVID-19 and things changed and they're no longer meeting. But I will check to see if they are reconnected and if they're back up. And I love the Google idea because we get so much information from just Googling. So I love it. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Take care.
You
Thank
too.
You, Sister Alva.
Yes, sir. Are there any other comments?
Not at this time.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sister Beatrice, I just want to say how inspirational what you're doing is. And it's just amazing. You know, it's just amazing to think of the fact that you're working with the children. And so many times, just like your grandson and his cousin. So many times I see adults as the children are wanting to explore or wanting to watch or wanting to learn. So many times I've seen adults say, oh, listen, go sit down. I need you to be quiet. And, you know, no, don't come in here. Instead of encouraging them, yes, come. Sit where it's safe. Watch. Ask questions. So it starts there. It starts with us changing our mindset. And just in my humble opinion, it all goes back to the slave mentality that our ancestors, and it's come down generational that we have seen. I think that with integration, many of the skills that our people had have been lost, you know. So we have to change our mindset in order to change our skill set. And it's a process. It's a process for me. Just like you were saying, there's many of these things you had no idea of until you made this decision, stepped out, challenged yourself, and moved out and learned and did these things. Sister, I commend you on all that you have done, moving, making the decisions to move, you know, praying, planning, and preparing and implementing it, basically. That's what you're doing. I commend you on all of that. And I just, you know, there are so many things I'm thinking of. You mentioned that you also have a trucking company.
Yes. We started out in trucking. We started out in trucking. It was myself and three of my children got together, and they wasn't for it at first. but they went to college, and then on the side they would do trucking. And then they realized, this is something we could do. And so as they transitioned to build this trucking company, we realized that having a trucking company and driving a truck personally takes so much time and effort, and you lose so much because it's a lot of time when you're trying to do a trucking company and actually drive the truck yourself, plus build a trucking company. And so what we decided to do was say, how do we get ownership of our lives? How can we make it better? And so as we started researching and reading and reading and reading, we learned that you really have to own the industry that you are moving to be successful to the fullest extent. That would be one of the ways. And so we built the trucking company, and then we got into farming because our hope and our goal is that we will be moving our own produce across the country. And it seems like it's a big dream, and it's going to take time, but as long as we're committed, we can move it. And so we're split as a family. Some are truck drivers, and some work the farm. Some are teachers and help with the children. We all try to take our gifts and our abilities and apply it for the whole. And the whole purpose for the trucking company is eventually to help other black farmers get their produce to the community and help ourselves get our produce to the community.
Oh, sister, that is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And so you kind of be able to control it better. Can you hear me, sis? I apologize. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Please go on.
We're trying to control our lives and what we do, our income and the time we spend on the road. And so we want to be able to move our own product, own our own truck, and build up and help others build. So we have more like a holistic approach. We also have intentions. We do own land in Africa, in Gambia, and eventually we're going to all move forward to building that bridge. So it's taking baby steps. It's moving slow, but there's a direction we're trying to go into. And the minister and the messenger laid it out for us, and we're pretty much trying to follow that pattern.
And Sister Andrea, we have Dr. Ridgely on the line.
Oh, yes, sir. Please, please. Open it up to Dr. Ridgely.
Salaam alaikum, Sister Beatrice.
Right, because she's not.
Wa alaikum salam.
Where my truck?
I was hoping you was telling me that you had the truck.
Where my truck? I haven't heard nothing from him again.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That truck didn't come through. He said that truck wasn't the engine the one that's supposed to be in there, so I didn't get that truck.
I didn't know. I was waiting for congratulations.
No, he didn't. I'm waiting on him. He said he's going to try to find me another truck. But, you know, I appreciate the fact that he went and checked it out and said, no, this is not the right one. So I really appreciate that. So I'm waiting on him for the truck. So eventually I'm sure we'll get one, but we're still using ours. And so thank you so much. Now,
you're welcome.
So you want my job. You want to be the Minister of Agriculture?
I can't feel your shoes.
I mean, what you're doing, I'm just sitting here just smiling and grinning the whole program. I said, look at this. She is taking care of the business. Now, I just want to say this. What you are doing, you and your family, sister, is actually the way we did it until integration came and stopped it. We were passing on intergenerational businesses, not only farms, but other businesses. And we were training our children in because we were segregated. We couldn't go to the white man's stores. They wouldn't hire us. We couldn't even drive their trucks for the trucking companies. So we had to learn how to do for ourselves and make money with each other through segregation. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a plan of bringing those segregated communities into a nation, okay? And so they had to shut that down with integration. And I know in particular, they picked me up when I was in the ninth grade, and the 10th grade, they took me to a prep school up in New Hampshire, taking me out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, to a prep school fully paid, and I was supposed to meet me a white girl, go to Harvard, and become a Negro. And unfortunately for them, I ran into the autobiography of Malcolm X when I was in my sophomore year, and I've been crazy ever since. Okay? But they destroyed our system on purpose. And now people like you are putting back the simple system of mentorship, developing businesses based upon the needs of the people, and supplying your son, your grandson, is lucky to be in a situation where his products can be sold. He has ideas, but can be made into products that somebody will sell for them, instead of them being told, "Oh, that ain't gonna sell. What you gonna do with that?" So now they took us and put us in school to go and get a job for them, and we don't use our brain to figure out nothing for ourselves. They did a good job. Slavery, I hate when people keep talking about slavery. Slavery not do the trick, because we came out of slavery in 45 years. We bought 16 million acres of land. All right? We were doing so much that they had to come up with a plan to stop us from saving so much money, stop us from buying farmland. They had to produce in us consumerism to get us off of our deen, which was to be self-sufficient. We was doing that until 1910, when they brought the hammer down. Lynching, burners, running us out of our homes. War against the black family, and now dispersing us in the cities and corrupting us with their world and their world of sin. And we've gotten lazy, and we've gotten fat, we've gotten sloppy. We love, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, we have bathed ourselves in the white man's sins. So what you are doing, all praises are due to Allah. You're saving yourself and your family, and now look what these young people are doing with the right type of environment. So we thank COVID-19. COVID-19 has stopped a whole lot of degradation in the wrong direction. People are sitting back using Google, using YouTube to study and learn how to do something for themselves. So we thank COVID-19 because it set us down. And like Mr. Farrakhan said, go ahead on and give us that card talking about why we can't fly on your plane unless we have the vaccine. Now you will not have a plane industry. So in other words, we're using this opportunity to build our nation in the dark, away from the white man's world. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you so much, sister, for what you're doing. I'm smiling from ear to ear. I got to read. What's it, Aman?
What's his name? Aman.
I got to meet this man and shake this man's hand and let him teach me a thing or two. Because like he said, he's studying how to make money from his business, not just how to grow it, but how to make money so he can cash flow it. Thank you so
yes,
much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Richley. And Sister Beatrice, will you repeat the information that you gave earlier on how to connect with you, your website, your email address, and your phone number?
Yes, the phone number is 704-740-0432. The website is amoncommunityfarm.com. The email is bjfamilyconnection @gmail.com.
Sister Beatrice,
is that B as in dark or B as in ball, J?
B as in ball, J as in Jane, family, connection, no S, @gmail.com.
Thank you. And will you spell Aman and give that website again, please?
Aman is A-M-M-A-N, communityfarm.com.
Thank you so much. We have a few minutes. Are there any, do we have any more callers, Brother Carlton?
No, ma'am. Dr. Richard is the last one.
Okay. Sister Beatrice, are there any thoughts as we come to the end of this program? This has been absolutely phenomenal. Thank you so much for coming back. I mean, this is you have just really stimulated a lot of thought and just so in so much information. Sister, is there anything else you would just like to share with us?
Family, we can do this. Family, it is open, wide open for us to do this. Let's unify. And if there's any black farmers in North Carolina, please reach out. Thank you, family. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so much. Wa alaikum salam, beloved.
Messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire.
Oh.
But Lord, I ask you to be my force of truth.
Oh.
For some strange reason, it had to be.
Oh.
He guided me to Tennessee.
Oh.
Then I don't know what you tell me to break. Out of the country and into more countries. Fast eyes burn into rhythm. Where the ghosts of childhood haunts me. Walk the road my forefathers walk. Climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came. My family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me. Without the enlightenment of all my folks. Instead, cause I set myself on a quest for truth. And he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty.